You're listening to the Quince Podcast.
At a time when polarization between the Hindu and Muslim communities across India has increased, a Catholic bishop in Kerala has set off a new controversy by alleging that Muslim communities are waging a quote-unquote narcotics jihad. On 9 September, Pala District Bishop Joseph alleged that the Muslim community is endangering youth belonging to other religions, especially the Christian youth, by luring them into Islam via drug use. These drugs, according to the bishop, are allegedly used in ice cream parlors, juice corners and hotels, which are run by quote-unquote hardcore jihadists, and that the drugs are being used as a quote-unquote weapon to spoil non-Muslims. Not surprisingly, the comments also set off alarm bells across the Christian minority community in the state, with other bishops and nuns, several Islamist groups and Kerala Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan condemning the bishop's comments. However, the Catholic Church, along with the influential Nayar Service community and the Bharatiya Janata Party, who has been trying to make inroads in the state, has come out in full public support of the bishop's comments. The Kerala unit of the BJP also went a step further and wrote to Home Minister Amit Shah seeking a law to deal with quote-unquote narco-terrorism and love jihad. But why is a Catholic bishop in Kerala triggering a war of words against another minority community in the state? What is making the Catholic Church anxious about the Muslim community? And is this the first time this has happened? To understand this, we spoke to Kerala-based senior journalist K. Shaji. You're tuned in to The Big Story, the podcast where we dissect the headline-making news for you, and I'm your host, Himmat. The bishop's comments triggered widespread condemnation across the board. Statements of condemnation also came from Kerala Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan, who said that people in responsible positions should not be causing religious divisions and that there is, quote-unquote, no need to give religious colour to narcotics. The Samastha Kerala Sunni Students Federation, an Islamic youth organization, demanded the bishop to prove his claims and urged the state government to take legal action against him for spreading communal hatred. Another Muslim outfit has reportedly even filed a police complaint against the bishop. And condemnation has also come from members of the church itself. Speaking to the Quint, Bishop G. Varghese said that, quote-unquote, such irresponsible statements will only help communal and casteist forces, which want to create divisions between India's minorities. Sister Jose, a 68-year-old senior nun based in Erinakulam, Kerala, told the Quint that the bishop's statements shows that he is, quote-unquote, not qualified to lead the congregation and the church. However, this is not the first time that the Siro Malabar Church, which the bishop belongs to, has stirred controversy by making such allegations. In January 2020, the church expressed concern over rising number of love jihad cases and said that this is an agenda of the Islamic State to threaten religious harmony in the state. But as we know, the propaganda of love jihad still lacks evidence and has even been denied by the center in Lok Sabha. But according to K. Shaji, the church has spelled out concerns of love jihad for the past decade without any proof, and the recent assertion from the bishop about quote-unquote narcotic jihad is along the same lines.
It has been almost a decade since both the BJP and the Christian community are raising the issue of the love jihad, though without any kind of evidence. If I can go by the memory, one of the major Malayalam newspapers named Kerala Kaumudi, about a decade ago, it carried an exclusive article saying that Dalau jihadis are on prowl in Kerala, targeting the women from Christian community as well as Hindu community. And that time, it created a lot of sensation across the state. And the story had no kind of evidence. The story was not substantiating its claims. Instead, generally saying by quoting some intelligence agencies. So in the case of journalism, it is easy to quote intelligence agencies without showing any proof. So the Kerala Kaumudi started the campaign. After 2-3 days later, Malayala Manorama taken over the campaign from Kerala Kaumudi, and it also given a new dimension because of the peculiar demographic kind of situation in Kerala. And the Christian community started believing that their prime threat is Muslims. And in all of these years, the community, especially the Siro Malabar Catholic Church segment, it is one of the largest Catholic segments across the world. And one of the most powerful in Kerala, the most powerful Christian community in Kerala, it even outsmarted Sangh Parivar in raising the bogey of love jihad. And it has been knocking at different doors its representatives met the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, asking for an investigation into the 11 jihad. They approached the National Minority Commission, they approached the National Women's Commission, and all the agencies, including NIA, CBI, Kerala Police, and at least the state governments of 7 BJP ruled states, they all have investigated into the allegations of Love Jihad by the Zero Malabar Church. But so far, no governmental agency has been able to provide any kind of evidence about the existence of Love Jihad. And even in the parliament, one of the parliament members, one Congress member from Kerala, he raises the question whether Love Jihad is existing in India or not. And the Home Minister of India, Mr. Amit Shah, even in writing that no such issue is existing in India, there is no evidence. And Kerala, on the part of the Kerala government, Kerala Chief Minister, the Director General of Kerala Police, and all the concerned authorities in the state government, again and again telling that there is no proof. We conducted proper investigations. And these people were citing some previous instances when some Hindu woman who got married to Muslims and some Christian woman who got married to Muslims. And they were taken to Syria and there they were trained in some, they claimed to have trained in the IS activities. And I think now they are trapped in Afghanistan. That is what these people were actually linking with Love Jihad. But the fact is that is a quite different one. These women also, they got attracted to Islamic ideology, whether it is militant or not, that I don't know. And these people, after getting attracted to Islam, they went and learned Islamic theology from some of the Islamic schools. And at that time, they fell in love with the fellow students from the Muslim community. But the church is without evidence. Without having any kind of element that can prove that it is existing. For the last over a decade, the church was telling Love Jihad was existing. The church's newspaper, Deepika, was almost every day writing that Love Jihad was existing. But they have no proof. And now this bishop is talking about the narcotic jihad. And when this issue caught a big controversy and the people started asking explanations from the bishop, the bishop is saying he was making aware his own church community about a possible threat, because in other parts of the world, the Islamists and other militant groups are using narcotics as a tool to develop their terror empire.
The church's condemnation of the Muslim community is also believed to be arising from a perceived threat to its flock. The Catholic Church in Kerala in the past few years has highlighted the dwindling population rate of Christians in Kerala. According to a Hindu report, Changanasheri Archdiocese suggested in a letter in 2019 that the share of Christian population in the state is creating a quote-unquote alarming situation for the community. However, according to a census analysis done by KHRG, the Christian population between 2001 and 2011 has decreased only by 0.64% to 18.38% of the population. You can find a link to his article in our show notes. He further argues that even though demographically Christians are a minority community in Kerala, the assertion that the Catholic community faces discrimination is false, given that they hold some of the highest offices in the state and are economically well-off compared to other segments of the population.
In the case of Kerala's Catholic community, there are three major provisions. One is Zero Malabar group. This present bishop, Pala Bishop, belongs to Zero Malabar. Another one is Zero Malangara. And the third one is Latin Catholic community. And this, in the case of Latin Catholic community, primarily they are people from the coastal areas, especially the fish workers. They have been converted during the colonial period by the British invaders or Dutch people and Portuguese people, predominantly poor people. And they have a Dalit background. They are very humble and they have a tough task with dealing with the sea. And their economic level is very average and they are extremely poor and highly exploited. But in the case of the Zero Malabar and the Zero Malangara, these people claim they were earlier Nayars and Nambudris, the upper elite class Hindus in India. And when St. Thomas came to India, he directly approached these powerful elite class, high class people, the upper class people, directly approached by St. Thomas. And St. Thomas baptized them directly. That is what they claim. So they are always making tall claims about the purity of their blood. And they are identifying themselves with the Brahmins and Rajputs of North India. And they are saying they are far better than other people. And in the case of Kerala, though they are one of minorities, practically they are not minorities. Demography-wise, they may be minorities, but the thing is that they are holding a lot of land in Kerala. Most of the land owners, plantation owners, then the entrepreneurs, and also industrial leaders, they are all coming from Christian community. And the Christian community leaders are extremely rich, and the church is also very rich. Church is one of the highest organizations having a lot of working capital. So among the church, most of the rich people in Kerala belongs to the Christian community, especially the Catholic community, and the influence makers, and even in the Kerala's politics, especially the Congress politics and United Democratic Front politics, there are a sizable number of leaders from the Catholic community. So this Catholic community never ever faced any kind of discrimination. Only the Latin Catholic community faced discrimination, but the Siro Malangara or Siro Balaba never faced any kind of discrimination. Same is the case of the Orthodox community, Jacobite community, and Mathoma community, the other oriented churches which are not affiliated to Catholic Church, but they are also Christian groups representing the Savarna group or the old elite Hindus who converted directly to Christianity at the behest of St. Thomas. And these people, they are always economically rich. They are deciding the agendas of successive governments. They are forcing the government to get things done on behalf of the church. And the church is now running the maximum number of hospitals in Kerala, the maximum number of schools in Kerala, the education sector, health sector, and almost all such sectors are under the grip of the church in Kerala. In spite of gaining all these, they are saying they are facing discrimination. There is no truth in it.
Now, the church has also made deliberate attempts to increase the population of Christians in the state through welfare schemes for families having five or more children. And this directly contradicts the state government's population control agenda. According to the church scheme, which is run by the Siro Malabar Church, the fourth child or subsequent child in a Christian family will be provided scholarships at engineering colleges run by the church. The church will also provide financial assistance of ₹1,500 to families, and the families will also be entitled to free delivery care at a hospital run by the church. K.A. Shaji adds that challenges in the Christian community do not limit to decreasing population, but also to its aging population.
Right from the 1960s and 70s, the world's most of the nurses different working in US, the nurses working in Britain, Germany, in many parts of the world, the nurses are actually Malayali women from the central part of Kerala, especially from the Christian pockets. So most of the girls went out of India as nurses. Christian girls from Kerala, they went out and worked as nurses across the world. And they also go to marry to Malayali men, and they were also went outside. So there are a number of Christian families outside Kerala, and only their aged parents are remaining here. In the case of men, when girls preferred nursing, most of the men preferred engineering and medicine, and they also went out of Kerala. Now the migration level, that international level, people going NRIs and settling outside, that trend is increasing. At another level, people are going into the big cities of India like Bangalore or Delhi or Kolkata or Mumbai, and they are finding more better options there. So in Kerala, the church is facing the problem. Whenever on Sundays during the time of the Holy Mass, they can only see people aged more than 60 or 70 or 80. So the aged people, the youth component is missing. So they are deeply worried about that. At another level, most of the Christian families, despite all the advices from the church, the families, they implemented family planning well. And most of the houses are nuclear families with one child or two child. And so the number of youngsters is decreasing fast in the Christian community. It is not because of any threat from Muslims or Hindus, but because of the financial and other kinds of considerations to these particular families. And also the role of education, because most of the Christians in Kerala are highly educated. And the role of education is there, the influence of social reformation movements and the impact of the national level population related campaigns, everything resulted in the nuclear families among the Christian community. So the number of children is very less, number of youths are very less. And on Sundays, these people are conducting catechetical classes, the religious classes, but no children is attending because children are away. And also they have youth activities, youth organizations, church-led youth organizations. They are not getting enough workers because the Christian people, the educated people are moving outside and settling outside. So that is one worry. And that is why these people are saying, if the family is having more children, and these children will be here, and they will engage in the kind of such activities they want.
Now, there is also a political element in the church's recent claim of quote-unquote jihad by the Muslim community, and maybe an indication of a shift in political stance. For decades now, the Christian community in Kerala has supported the Congress party, but the party has been losing ground in support in the recent years, winning only 21 out of the 93 seats it contested in the recent assembly elections. While at the same time, the BJP has been trying to woo the Christian community in Kerala for years, trying to expand its base in the southern state and grab the opportunity to appease the Catholic Church by expressing concern over love jihad and even promising a special law to curb it in its election manifesto. The Siro Malabar Church, in response, has thrown its support to the BJP in some key party issues. For example, the Pala bishop reportedly invited Kottayam district's RSS secretary to his office in March 2021. And even contributed a large donation towards the construction of the Ram Temple in Ayodhya. The church has also supported the BJP when it comes to politics, endorsing the party's candidate in Kottayam, where the church holds considerable influence. But why is the Catholic Church shifting its political alliance after decades of support to the Congress? Is there something behind the curtain that the church needs support from a political party like the BJP? According to K.A. Shaji, the church is embroiled in various allegations and scandals in the past few years, which are currently held up in court. He speaks of the scandals that the church is currently entangled in and how it may be trying to cozy up to the ruling party to possibly avoid any future public embarrassment.
The thing is that always the church was always always sided with the power, and whoever be in power, whether it was British people, whether it was Congress people, or now it is a turn of BJP, they always remain with the power, whoever in power. And another level, the church is facing numerous issues, numerous allegations, and it also facing even issues of financial misappropriation. And there are many scandals which may invite investigation by Enforcement Directorate or CBI or NIA. In the case of the Salam Siro Malabar Church, its leaders, especially the Cardinal from Kerala, his name is George Alan Cherry, he is now in the middle of a big land scandal. He purchased some land for the church, but the clergy, his own priests, his own subordinate people, and even the laity, the believers, are making allegations that he conducted a number of irregularities and taken away some of the money. So the case is now in the different courts, and the courts have already found there are prima facie evidences, and the investigations are going on. At another level, the Jalandhar Bishop Frango, actually he hails from Kerala, though his diocese is located in Jalandhar in Punjab. He is from Kerala, he's a known figure in Kerala. He was accused of raping a nun of his own church. And he was arrested and jailed last year, now on bail, but the trial is going on. And in the last 10-15 years, Kerala has witnessed several suicides by women, nuns in their own compound. And in most of the cases, there are outcry, there are allegations that they may have been murdered. And in the case of one nun named Abaya, one priest and another senior nun were recently imprisoned by, they were sentenced for life imprisonment by a court. So these all are happening. So the church's image is totally beaten. It suffered a lot of public humiliation. So these all are attempts to at least divert the attention for the time being from the serious issues the church is facing. So in order to avoid all these kinds of embarrassments, they are pleasing the BJP and they are trying to appease the central government. And somehow they wanted to avoid this kind of intervention by central agencies. And that is one of the imminent factors that triggered this kind of anti-Muslim rhetoric and this kind of Islamophobia related allegations. Because these allegations are just allegations. There is no truth in it. And these people, even when we are asking them, you have any proof, you come on and show us, they are not ready.
Despite the fact that the bishop has not backed up his remarks with any evidence and the widespread condemnation for it, he has not faced any action for his comments, which may have further deteriorated the state of religious discord in India. If you liked listening to this episode, please subscribe to The Big Story for episodic updates. We're available on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the other popular podcast streaming platforms. For other podcasts, please log on to the Quint website, and for any feedback, please shoot an email to podcast@thequint.com.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quince website and check out our other podcasts.